How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Update with Dave Dufour and Keith Parrish.
Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Ding, ding!
I have access to information that the public doesn't.
Hello and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. It's the Daily Ding, Sunday Weekend Update. I'm Dave Dufour, here with Keith Parrish, as I am every single week. Keith, we got a huge Game 7 on Sunday, and Stephen Curry is the biggest story. The most points ever scored in a Game 7 elimination game, 50 points. Steph Curry just shut down. The playoffs are over. This is the championship game. The Warriors won. That's it.
I'm with you, Dave. I mean, it was an all-timer of a game, a playoff career-high 50 points, that is, for Steph Curry. One of those things where we've looked at this regular season and postseason, we're always talking about, like, what's the deal with the Warriors all year? You and I all season have been going on, like, do we care if they never went on the road? And then even this series, you fall down 2-0, you win 3 straight, despite having some issues, no Draymond for a game, Steph calling a timeout when he didn't have a timeout. Then the Kings all of a sudden strike back, take that game 6. We're like, man, we got a game 7. They got to go and have a chance to light the beam in front of their home crowd. And Stephen Curry says, no, sir. This is me, NBA legend, like further cementing my place in history, basically. I know it's just the first round, but to drop 50 points, like you said, the most points ever in a game 7 to, I mean, I know it wasn't single-handedly. I mean, he got some offensive rebounding help from some of his guys, but Steph was, I don't know the proper term, is just an assassin. He's just the guy you can't take out. And like, I know this feeling the Kings are having, like I'm a Grizzlies fan last year. You know, we were 2 seed, we're taking on the Warriors and just like, man, they got Steph Curry. Nobody else has Steph Curry. And it's this overwhelming force. And there's honestly, we have to think of things to say, but I was going to say, there's nothing you can say. The guy's just Steph Curry and no one else is.
Yeah, he's incredible. And he was doing it everywhere. I mean, he was 7 of 18 from 3. He was 20 of 38 overall from the field. Only shot 5 free throws in spite of all the layups and trips to the basket that he got. Don't expect that to get a lot of run in the next series against the Lakers. I'm sure Warriors fans will not pay attention to that at all. He had 8 rebounds, Keith. He had 6 assists. I mean, he really just did everything for this team, including, you know, played better defense than he played in game 6. You know, this Warriors team, as you mentioned, they struggled on the road all season long. I mean, the 2 biggest road games of the year for them, they won though. And this is just what they've done time in, time out. This is why I trust this team to potentially win another championship, especially with the Bucks being out of the picture. Because when it comes playoff time, they just know how to get these wins. You mentioned Curry didn't do it all alone. Kevon Looney had an incredible game. He had 11 points, 21 rebounds, 10 offensive rebounds and 4 assists in 31 minutes. He was 4 of 5 from the field. The guy, he was dominant.
And again, much like we've talked about the Warriors all season, like what's the deal on the road? We've talked about Kevon Looney all season. Like that guy, he's just a rock they can go to. And maybe in the regular season, they don't care. They turn away from it. He and Wiggins, you know, huge reasons outside of Steph for them winning the title last year. He comes through again. He had 3 20 rebound games in just this series. He had 9 offensive rebounds in the second half. I mean, this third quarter, you saw it where that was where the Warriors just destroying the Kings on the glass. I mean, bless the Kings' hearts. They could not get a stop. They couldn't clear the glass. And eventually that extra possessions, the extra shots for the Warriors became that Steph Curry avalanche. It was that snowball rolling down the hill to when he finally, I can't remember the exact score in the fourth quarter. He hit one of his few just absolutely ridiculous 3-pointers. And on the next possession, he basically ran into Andrew Wiggins, who was lost on offense. He's like, Steph's running around. They're looking for him. Wiggins is like oblivious that Steph's coming around the screen or whatever. Like Steph slams into Wiggins. He doesn't care. He like just bounces off like a pinball, takes a couple dribbles and hits like 15-foot floater. And at that point, everyone's like, well, they had Steph. We didn't.
I love that play so much because it's actually one of my favorite things about Steph is that even if you're stagnant on offense, he's not. And he's going to try to use you. He was actually trying to use Wiggins as a stationary screener to come around and catch the ball to get an open look. And Wiggins didn't know. Now, normally Wiggins is pretty good about stepping over and getting out of the way, but that moment was funny. But the fact that he hit this contested floater. I mean, it was his night, you know, it was really his night. It was the Warriors' night, but we should talk about the second half because I think that's where the Warriors championship defense showed up. They only allowed 42 points to the Kings after halftime. I mean, they were down by two. They win the game by 20. That second half is where they turned it on, especially in that third quarter. Draymond Green was incredible. Draymond Green didn't get credit for any blocks in this game, but I'm pretty sure he got his hand on a couple of shots that were deflected. He did get a couple steals. He had 8 assists. But when you can defend at this level, you know, it was a rough Wiggins offensive game, but it was a great defensive game. You mentioned help on the offensive glass. He had 4 offensive rebounds. Klay Thompson struggled big time. Can't get around anybody. Couldn't get an open look. Plus 30 for the game. He was great defensively in the second half of this one. That's really where the Warriors won.
Well, the difference in the game, I mean, it's very simple to say. The difference in the game is Steph Curry. But literally, everyone in the second half shot 32% except Steph. Like you take away Steph's shots from the Warriors in the second half, they were also struggling from the field. But in what often happens in NBA playoff games, it devolves into a rock fight. And you might say, who has the most grit? Who has the better defense, the better offensive rebounding? And then you need that one spark of difference. And that's Steph Curry, where he could do all the magical stuff he did. Because like Wiggins and Looney are doing the dirty work. Because Draymond, despite, you know, never having huge offensive numbers, although he scored a lot in game 6. Draymond just doing all his defensive stuff. And now the Kings, like, they had a very exciting good year. They were great from start of the finish to start of the season to the finish of the season. Now he's like, all right, we did it. Now what's next, basically? And it probably is that we got to get a front court. We got to get some rebounds. We got to get some defenders. But I mean, they had an incredible season. You ran into the defending champs.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the front court a little bit because I do think that, I mean, that was the issue in this series over and over and over again. Domantas Sabonis got them to the playoffs.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot. When you get into this time of year, it's impossible to analyze the game and talk about the players without also pointing out their weaknesses. And Domantas Sabonis in this series was shown to be an 82-game player at this moment. He's not a guy that you can really depend on in the playoffs to lead your team. I mean, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk really led this team and kept them in all of these games. And Sabonis just was ineffective. I mean, he had 22 points in this game. He did have 8 rebounds. He did have 7 assists. But the Warriors were not concerned about him whatsoever. They were able to blow up the Kings' offensive game plan just by sagging off, forcing him to shoot free throw jumpers, which, by the way, he hit a few. I mean, there was a funny sequence where Steph missed 2 free throws and they leave Sabonis wide open and he hits one from the elbow. And somehow the Kings aren't playing well at this moment, right? Like, it's one of those things where they've played right into the Warriors' hands. They just got lucky to hit a couple there. And you know, I'm not a guy who's like, you got to go tear this down now and get rid of Sabonis because he's a good player. He's going to get you to the playoffs over and over again. But you got to have a curveball, Keith.
Well, in this specific matchup, too, and maybe if you paired Sabonis with a different 4, like they couldn't figure it out. They decided their strength was small ball. I mean, yeah, small ball with the guards, but like Harrison Barnes barely played. You know, that they didn't. Trey Lyles, I mean, Trey Lyles has had a nice, like, kind of revival basically for his season this year. But yeah, the offensive stuff that Sabonis does in the regular season, like he can mangle bad defenders, but when he's up against a good defender, be a Wiggins, Draymond, Looney triumvirate, be it against like a Steven Adams or somebody in the regular season, you see some of those flaws. Like, okay, like he's not a one size fits all kind of offensive hub. So now the Kings have to figure out, like, how do we best complement him? But I do feel like they've discovered some stuff with like Malik Monk. Absolutely. I mean, just a huge series from him. I mean, it was a disappointing series from Kevin Huerter, who's helped them all season. But again, the Kings have options now, and you just have to tip your hat and be like, Steph Curry missed 2 consecutive free throws against us and still scored 50. What are you going to do about that, Dave?
What are you going to do? Also, should note, Keegan Murray is a great story coming out of this because he was not good in the first couple games. He really turned it around. I thought he was great in this game. Obviously, was great in that game 6. That's a huge story. When your rookie is getting quality playoff minutes, I mean, he plays 28 minutes in this game. Key part of the rotation. actually played really good basketball and was instrumental in a couple of their wins, or in at least one of their wins. So I think they had a great season. This is kind of the best. If you're a person like me that you just kind of root for what's the best story to come out of this, because I don't really root for outcomes. I just want the best thing. It's the Warriors win in seven in this sort of game where Steph Curry goes off, but that the Kings were in it. They didn't get blown out. You know, this wasn't something where they were just happy to be there, roll over, go home in five games, Keith. They actually were in this thing and had a shot to win it up until 24 minutes left in the game. I mean, I think that that's, I mean, that's a huge thing. And so, you know, if you see people or hear people immediately going to the, oh, wow, can't believe that they did that or whatever. Well, here's the thing, man. There really weren't any adjustments you could have made in this game seven that were going to work. Alex Len wasn't the answer, even though Alex Len was an answer for like 10 minutes a game here and there throughout the series. If Sabonis wasn't going to be the guy to get it done, if Trey Lyles wasn't going to be the guy to get it done, it just wasn't going to get done.
I also have faith that if there was an answer, if there was an adjustment to be made, Mike Brown would have known when it was.
Like, absolutely.
Like Mike Brown made this, he made these adjustments for the Warriors last year when Steve Kerr had to step away from the team. And like he got some big wins in the postseason as head coach. And now he comes to the Kings and he's facing his former squad. I feel like he knows probably all the things that were exploitable, all the weaknesses. And he obviously knows his own players. It just, when you run into an all-time great who is pitching an all-time great game, and then again, you have these complimentary pieces. I mean, this is maybe a time we can praise this Warriors front office for like just getting the Dante DiVincenzo, just getting a Gary Payton too, to come in and soak up minutes and to complement what you already know you have. Although, frankly, they did ride the starters the whole second half. It was mainly, they played the big guns. They did not veer away from Kevon Looney for like a Jordan Poole. No. That's regular season ball. Like they went with Looney knowing this is the man, Mr. 20 rebounds himself, who's punishing this undersized Kings front line.
Listen, I told Ben Taylor, if Kevon Looney plays every competitive minute for the Warriors in the playoffs, I think that they can go back-to-back. That's how good that guy is. And the Warriors only going to get a couple days off. They're going to face the L.A. Lakers because they crushed your Memphis Grizzlies the other night, Keith. 125-85. That was an embarrassing loss. And I'm not going to get into the stuff that happened after the game or didn't happen after the game. Like there was not much media coming out of the Grizzlies locker room. Let's just say the guys are going to get into that on Buds tomorrow. We're going to leave that for them. But the Lakers, they looked dominant in this game. Obviously, they won by 40. But AD was incredible. He had five blocks in 28 minutes. I mean, that was like a Jaren Jackson performance from Anthony Davis.
It was a classic. It was akin to like Karl Malone winning the MVP and having to face Jordan in the finals. That was Jaren Jackson Jr. getting awarded the Defensive Player of the Year award and having to go up against AD. AD, by far the best player in this series, an absolute dominant first round from Anthony Davis. And now we have these two little underdog upstarts facing off in the second round. We got a six seed against the seven seed, Warriors v. Lakers.
I mean, this has worked out. Look, there are going to be a lot of people that say that this has worked out well for the ratings. I don't care. I'm watching these games anyway.
Well,
so I don't think about
wrong.
Things. They're not wrong. really, what we got is Steph Curry versus LeBron James again.
Yeah,
which is the story of, you know, the last 10 years almost of basketball. It's these two going head to head. And, you know, for this this stage of their careers, I mean, Steph obviously still a champion. LeBron trying to get back there, but just won a title a couple years ago. This could be the last dance between these two. And I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I think I'm absolutely looking forward to it. I have very complex feelings about both of these teams. I mean, maybe I used to enjoy watching the Warriors a little bit more, but like, as far as like NBA history wise, I mean, I was telling people during the Kings game, we're like, I like cheering for the Kings and maybe I'm rooting against the Warriors a lot, but NBA history wise, the opportunity at this point in their careers to see LeBron James and Steph Curry show down. And I'm not like a historian or coming up with a big like narrative of the history of basketball, but whoever wins that series, even if they don't make the finals, like that's big. It's big for the story of the last 20 years of the NBA. And you have like LeBron was good against the Grizzlies, but he's not best player in the world good. at least he wasn't in that series. I don't know if he can still reach that with the stuff he's dealing with physically with his foot. Maybe he still has that in reserve and it's going to show up for the showdown with the Warriors. But like Steph Curry, you're not going to see a better game than you saw, you know, this late in his career. So the idea of the defending champs with Steph, with Klay, with Draymond going against the Lakers, who finally have AD and LeBron healthy. This is the dream of what they wanted. Yeah, they got the bubble championship, but like everyone always said when they traded all that stuff for AD, as long as LeBron and AD are healthy, they should be great. And now they put some pieces around them. You got D'Angelo Russell playing well. You got like just, you know, they're deeper than maybe you'd think. And so, yeah, I think it's an awesome showdown for the league, awesome showdown for all basketball fans, regardless of what maybe mild resentments you have towards the franchises.
And I love the idea of LeBron and AD getting to play without changing time zones. I think that this is like,
it might help them a little, hugely
important because I want to see AD and LeBron healthy as possible for this series. Cause it could be epic. It could also be over in five. I'm not ready to make any sort of predictions. It's going to be nuts. I think it's going to be Warriors, a knockdown drag out fighting series. Like the Lakers have just scrapped and clawed their way into the playoffs. They continue to play like a team that's sort of desperate. And I finally saw some of that out of the Warriors in game seven here. So,
well, I do think the Warriors, with the people we've been talking about, with the Looney, Wiggins, Draymond frontline, if anyone is at least remotely equipped to handle LeBron and AD, that's probably it. And the Lakers were awesome defensively against the Grizzlies. Guarding Steph Curry is going to be a lot different. You're going to have to shift up those coverages for Wardell.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife, Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Okay, so we have game one of the second round series between the Heat and Knicks was early afternoon. It was actually 10 a.m. Pacific, Keith. So a little breakfast basketball out here. Yes. I guess maybe brunch, late breakfast basketball. And the Heat won 108 to 101 because it's a make or miss league, Keith. And the New York Knicks shot 20% from three against the Miami Heat, who continue to outperform their regular season standards shooting the basketball. It was a bad game for them too.
Yeah, I mean, the story of this one, there's a few stories. Like the Knicks were in control early. At least it felt like control. You know, they had that first half lead. And then it was one of those things where you got to halftime and you're like, the Knicks are only up five or whatever. And then the third quarter, you know, it kind of swapped over. And then you're just getting Jimmy Butler and you're getting Kevin Love. You're watching Kevin Love doing his full court outlet passes. You're thinking, why in the world did the Cavs get rid of this guy? He looks like he's fresh and rejuvenated playing for the Heat. So you had Jimmy Butler, you know, Kevin Love, Gabe Vincent continues being a great story. Meanwhile, the Knicks are, like you say, they're struggling. They're not making their shots. And then I guess the most important thing possibly for the end of this game is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler twists his ankle. And it was a very kind of bizarre moment where Jimmy Butler clearly got hurt, twisted his ankle. They took a timeout. He stayed in to shoot free throws. And we're all watching this thinking, hey, can he move? Is he going to be a liability? What are they going to do on offense and defense? Well, we'll never know because the Knicks didn't go at him and the Heat didn't have him touch the basketball. He basically joked after the game in the walk-off interview. He's like, well, all I did was airball a three-pointer, you know, after I twisted my ankle. But the Heat continued their run. And now, I mean, that's 5 out of 6. They won 5 out of 6 games as the 8th seed. Like, we've never seen that before.
Again, they rope-a-dope us the entire year.
Yeah,
Jimmy
did.
Butler played the long con on us. 25 points, 11 rebounds in this game. That three that he airballed was the only one he took in the game. I mean, it was a Jimmy Butler masterclass of a game. You mentioned Kevin Love. Kevin Love had 4 assists in this game. He had a couple of crazy outlet passes, including one to Jimmy Butler. And that was the difference in the game for Miami and their offense, because they started getting out in transition on some of these longer Knicks makes and even some of the short ones. I mean, Kevin Love was in the middle of the paint when he threw that pass, but the Knicks were generating open looks. Their offense was actually moving the ball really well. Obi Toppin had a ton of open looks. Jalen Brunson went 0 for 7 from 3. Josh Hart was 0 for 7 from 3. RJ Barrett, 1 of 5. These guys were missing open looks. And I'm not going to make this a thing about, well, you know, hey, the Knicks missed some shots and that's why they lost. But this is a game where you can go and look, and they're probably 8 to 10 just looks that they should have hit. Momentum, you know, swing, swing, shoot, right? Like, and stuff that normally drops in NBA games that they just didn't hit. And so they got to find a way to just convert on those looks. I think offensively, they were okay. What they can't do, Keith, is give up the stuff that they were giving up at the other end. I mean, number one, got to keep the Heat off the free throw line. That's priority one on the scouting report. They give up 29 free throws in this game. Obviously, Jimmy Butler is going to do his work, but you can't jump after the two pump fakes because you know what he's trying to do, Keith.
Yeah. I mean, this was, again, it was like this whole playoffs, there's been so many of these things where, like, you put these, you look at these teams on paper before the season, we're like, oh, that's a really good team. And then what we played the regular season and you're like, oh, Kyle Lowry doesn't have it anymore. Kevin Love, he's at the end of the rope as far as his career. And then like, oh, Jimmy Butler. All right. This team can't shoot enough. But then you get to the playoffs. All of a sudden, Kyle Lowry's blocking shots like crazy, or he's just stripping the ball every time a guy drives at him. And the Heat are grinding out this, like, I mean, it was kind of a throwback score. You know, like, no one was really scoring. A lot of that is the Knicks missing those open three-pointers, missing a bunch of free throws. But I'm just, I guess I'm impressed. I'm impressed by the older NBA players just being like, it's playoff time. Cool. It's go time. I'm going to play good again.
Yeah. I'm going to do that next season, I think, here at work. I'm
podcast wise.
Just going to mail it in.
Well, I was just thinking you've been hitting your stride postseason. I didn't think you still had it. I thought you lost your fastball, but look at you, man.
That's right. I've been gearing up, but don't bite on my pump fake. You know, I'm just trying to get to the free throw line. I'm trying to drift my way to some wins over here. There was another game one in the second round. This one in the West. The Nuggets look pretty damn good, 125 to 107. They just handled the Suns. And Keith, we talked about this in the pre-show. Everyone for Phoenix that you expect to have a good game had a good game. Kevin Durant, 29 points. Devin Booker, 27 points. But then what happens, Keith?
Right. Yeah. I mean, all their big, even like Ayton was making his shots. Chris Paul was fine, but they got blasted. And I think there is some, I don't know if this is true. I always think of this in my own head. This is probably not a real thing, but I always think there's like maybe some, it's like changing difficulty settings when you're playing a video game. Where like the Suns have not been tested essentially yet since they picked up Kevin Durant, not in the regular season. The Clippers, I mean, punched him in the mouth first in that series, but then Kawhi goes down and it's like, did the Suns really have to, you know, pull off a peak performance game to beat the Clippers? I don't know. And I think the Nuggets were just, they're a different tier up from what the Clippers were. And it took maybe the Suns a little bit of time to adjust. Cause like the Nuggets, they were hitting threes, unlike the Knicks. Like they were making a bunch of threes. You got an all time great playoff performance from Jamal Murray. But like Jokic, that wasn't a good Jokic game.
No.
Like Jokic, his touch, I think he shot under 50% two games in a row. And he did that. He only had two games all season where he shot under 50% from the field.
So it's obvious that wrist is still bothering him.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is his touch, his finishing touch is not there. Still, blowout, dominant victory. I do expect the game two where, like, the Suns now know. Like, oh, okay, we have to do a lot of things differently. We got to step it up. They do obviously have concerns, though, about that depth.
Yeah, but some big numbers to watch, though.
Yeah.
You know, they've got depth concerns, of course, but the big numbers they've got to look at. You don't have the depth to throw the ball around like that because you can't expend the extra energy. They had 16 turnovers in the game. No energy on the glass. They got out-rebounded on the offensive glass 16-8, so they weren't getting second-chance opportunities. And Keith, over in the YouTube chat, Francisco Rojas asked a great question. Can the Suns win the whole thing? Shooting as few threes as they're doing currently. They only got up 23 attempts, only hit 7 of those. They're going to have a math problem against the Nuggets. The Nuggets are going to take 35 or more threes in every single game. You can't stop that. The Nuggets hit 16 threes.
Yeah. Anytime you win that three-point battle by, 27 points? That's a lot for your opponent to overcome. I think it's a great question, and I think it's one of the key stats of this series. where like we know that the Suns have these mid-range assassins with Booker and Durant and Chris Paul, but I'm not sure they can hit enough three-pointers to keep up in this series. Certainly, I assume it's going to be a close series, but that three-point battle and just the depth rebounding of the Nuggets, it seems like a lot to ask for that Phoenix team. It was really funny. It's like, I watch a lot of Nuggets games. I really enjoy watching this team. And during the broadcast on Saturday, they were just like, the Nuggets are just such a deep team. Keep coming at you in waves. And I'll be honest, I never thought of the Nuggets as being a deep team. But compared to the Suns, they are. Like, compared to the Suns, you're like, oh, I'd much rather have these guys checking in right now. Like, Bruce Brown and Christian Brown off the bench just doing stuff. Like, those guys know how to play. And they're, like, they don't need... the Nuggets don't need their offense as like essentially as the Suns need. Like they have to have Josh Okogie make some threes. Like in an ideal world, Okogie can just do his stuff, which is, you know, rebound, hustle, knock down an open three. But like they don't depend on that scoring, where the Nuggets, I feel like, have the freedom to be like, hey, anything we get from Christian Brown, icing on the cake. Oh, Jeff Green's making shots tonight, icing on the cake, because we have our main guys. Where the Suns, like, hey, we really need Landry Shamet to make some shots, because we can't actually play. We can't play five guys 45 minutes and up. Like, you know, it's gonna be too hard to take out this really good Nuggets team doing that.
Well, that minute load is actually something to watch for the Suns. We know that Booker and Durant were up in the mid 40s, 44, 45 minutes a game in that first round series. And maybe they lucked out a little bit by waving the white flag fairly early, because Kevin Durant only played 36 minutes. And Booker only played 40 minutes. You know, the Chris Paul question is going to have to be answered. Like, can he be consistent? I worry, you know, whether he can be consistent. And obviously, DeAndre Ayton, putting no pressure on the basket offensively, it just allows Jokic to chill out quite a bit on the other end. Jokic only had one foul in this game. You know, that's something that I think if you're talking to DeAndre Ayton, you're saying, look, you got to go and just work a little bit, try to get this guy in foul trouble. And you got to keep him off the glass. Eight offensive rebounds. I mean, a Looney-esque performance.
Yeah, I think another thing, if you're a Suns fan, that you can probably console yourself with is, like I said, the Jamal Murray game. We've seen Jamal do this in the playoffs before, but that was on the spectrum of Jamal Murray games, incredibly good game. And then, like, Aaron Gordon, I don't think is offensively going to give you this every game. Much like we said, all the Suns' main guys had solid games. Like, the Nuggets got great performances from Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Michael Porter Jr., up and down the roster. Bruce Brown scored like 14 points. Like, they got it from everyone as well. These guys are not all going to have it clicking on the same night usually. So it's not all over by any stretch, but I do think you can be concerned if you cheer for Phoenix that, hey, this rebounding and three-point thing, that might be real.
Yep. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. For Keith Parrish, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been The Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.